Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. Today, we come to the end of the book, Henry Ford, Highlights of His Life, published by the Henry Ford Museum. We're going to read the last chapter titled, New Fields Beckon. I hope that you have enjoyed this short book about Henry Ford, and hopefully you have learned a thing or two along the way. My family and I have been to the Greenfield Village already this year, and we are planning on going to the museum sometime soon as well. Maybe, while I'm down there, I can find this book and pick up a hard copy for myself. Anyway, I hope that you are enjoying some summer reading. John and I started a new series the other day, and I think that we are both enjoying it. It kind of reminds me of the Willy Wonka story. We'll see how it turns out. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
New Fields Beckon. Automobiles, however, were not the only thing that interested the man who put America on wheels. He had many other ideas, some of which failed, while others succeeded. There was, first, the matter of his interest in farming and in the land. He had experimented with a gasoline farm tractor early in the 1900s, but he was unsuccessful in developing a line of farm engines. In 1915, a tractor plant at Dearborn was begun. Some of the first tractors were sent to British farmers during the First World War. Out of this experience grew the Fordson tractor, which, like the Model T, was light in weight and had a low selling price. Much more important to the farmers than his tractors was the effect that the Model T Ford car had on the life of the people in rural areas. It had, in fact, been called the farmer's car. Eventually, Henry Ford became interested in farming itself. He had thousands of acres put under cultivation on Ford farms. In the 1930s, with the world burdened under an economic depression, Ford revived his interest in a program which he had begun in 1919 of establishing small factories in the rural areas of Michigan. He hoped to reverse the tide that saw farmers rushing to become city dwellers, thereby bringing about a decline of agricultural areas. He also became interested in the products of the soil that could be used in the making of automobiles. The agricultural laboratories he established discovered many substitutes for metals, and Ford cars began to appear with parts made from soybeans and other agricultural crops. He also had an idea about transportation in the air. The idea ranged from flivver planes to all-metal three-motored transport ships. The Ford tri-motor played an important part in the development of commercial aviation. Pilots called it the Tin Goose, and it became known far and wide as a safe airplane in a day when flying was hazardous. Aviation safety was also aided when a radio beacon system was first perfected at Dearborn. Then, for a period of years, Ford dropped the manufacture of airplanes. But in 1941, with the coming of World War II, airplane production became a necessary part of war preparation, and Henry Ford made airplanes again. This time, they were faster, bigger, and more deadly. Bombers moved down the assembly lines at the Willow Run plant, which was the rouge of the bomber industry. When the war ended and production was halted, over 8,000 Liberators had been assembled by the Ford Motor Company. Henry Ford watched over the assembly line at Willow Run, just as he did at the Rouge. He continued to learn from tools and machines and to read the story they had to tell. Out of his own experiences came his ideas about education. In speaking of his youth, he once said, "I was studying all the time, not only from books, but also from things." In 1929, he put his ideas into practice by establishing a combined school and museum, which he called the Edison Institute. Here he brought the schoolhouses, the dwellings, the workshops, and the stores of other days so that the pupils in the schools of the Institute could study not only from books, but from things. This part of the Institute he called Greenfield Village. He gathered thousands of objects to put into the Henry Ford Museum so that they could be studied by all who wanted to learn about the past. "I am collecting the history of our people as written into things their hands made and used," he said. "A piece of machinery or anything that is made is like a book, if you can read it. It is part of man's spirit." He thus provided a school not only for children, but also for workers. Henry Ford once called the museum and village that he had created a people's university. Here at the Edison Institute, the creator of mass production methods, now intensely interested in the handwork of village craftsmen, spent many hours. He continued to be keenly interested in the future of the automobile industry while he collected relics of the past. His unusual appreciation of both the past and the future is illustrated by the description of Henry Ford as the one man who could spend his time collecting old churns while he followed the experiments of his chemists concerning synthetic milk. From his home in Dearborn, he kept a watchful eye over the Rouge plant, now headed by his grandson, and over the Edison Institute. It was after a visit to Greenfield Village on the afternoon of April 7, 1947, that Henry Ford became ill. He died during the evening at the age of 83. This man, who had been born into a world of horse-drawn carriages, had left a world of powered wheels.
This is Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information, to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com, or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes, and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the space shuttle turned its place in history and has come to a final stop.